Our scripture today comes from a popular place, popular scripture many of you probably heard of, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. Isaiah 9, 1 to 7. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which we're about to read. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you share with us within it, the light that you give us so that our path that we're on, we know how to walk. We also ask you this day that through all of this, that we draw closer to you in service and in love. We also pray for your mercy to be on the sermon. May it too be pleasing to you and used for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 9, 1 to 7. Hear now God's word. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Nebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This scripture a lot of people probably heard about, especially around Christmas time. And I think on Christmas Eve you'll hear this said once again. It is, what's the word? Quintessential? Essential? To our Christian belief. It's very basic to it. As Christians, we believe, of course, that this Old Testament scripture is written about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But what's interesting about this verse, I mean, there's a lot of things interesting in it. There are two parts, if you start on verse 2, which we're going to. There are two parts, if you start on verse 2, but the first part that we read is the second part, and the second part that we read is really the first part. And so we're going to read it in that direction. So we're going to go to verse 6. When we read the word for, what that means is because. Everything that comes prior to this happens because this happens. And so if we read this first, then we'll understand the first part better. So the first part, the thing that really changes everything, is this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's a mouthful, but it's a wonderful mouthful. It says a lot. And the challenge sometimes of reading the Old Testament is that those who originally read this may or may not have thought of the Messiah. For us, Jesus. Even those Jewish people today, when they read this, don't think of Jesus when they read this. The thing is that when Jesus was alive and doing ministry, the people rejected him. Many people rejected him, not everyone, but many, because he didn't fit the mold that they were expecting. And that mold is this greatness of his government, peace no end, David's throne, the kingdom. This sounds very political, very, very earthly power. And that's what they were expecting, a political king to come and rise up, save Israel from Rome, and establish the kingdom and the throne and the lineage of David forever. You know, Jesus would eventually die. Jesus' son would take over, but still within that line of David. But Christ, of course, said that the kingdom that he was bringing was a spiritual kingdom, something far more powerful, something far more lasting, something that we expect to wait, that we're going to wait for, and we read about in Revelation. That kingdom will be upon earth, and we will be ruled by Jesus Christ. It will be peace without end. David will be on the throne, of course, through Christ. Justice and righteousness will be forever. The thing is, I'm not very good at waiting. And many of us don't have this great well of patience. So something neat also happens. You see, Jesus as the light of the world, Jesus as this child who was born for us, also preached that the kingdom of God is near, that the kingdom of God is at hand. So what that means is that the implication of the Holy Spirit within our lives and this kingdom being close is that we experience some of this even today. That the beginning part, that earth through Jesus Christ is the beginning parts of heaven. That we experience within our own lives right now peace when everything seems chaotic through Jesus Christ. Justice and righteousness is present. Sometimes hard to see, but that Christ is always there. And so when we speak about Christ in our lives, we can say with confidence that Jesus is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. Not just to come, but in this very moment. When we celebrate Christmas time, and we gather around with our families, or we contemplate on Jesus' birth, or we even look at our secular world, there's a difference. There's a change. There's something out there that's reflective of this truth. But for Christians, we're to be reflective of this truth each day, not just during the Christmas season, though there especially, but even beyond it. To be ourselves a reflection of peace, a reflection of Christ's life, a light in our lives, that others might know the peace and the hope and the strength that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how exactly does Christ change this world? Because he is born, because he is alive. So we go back to the first part, which is actually the second part. What Christ has done, because he's the light of the world, is that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, we have there's this wonderful phrase in Christianity, and I think it's in Scripture, but I could be wrong. It's one of the ones I meant to check prior, but I didn't end up checking. And that phrase is, "Wake up, O sleeper." The idea that through Jesus Christ in our lives, that the Holy Spirit wakes us up, that we're no longer sleeping within sin, but we're now awake. Our eyes are open and we're seeing Christ at work. And I love this phrase, wake up, O sleeper, because of the challenge of it all. I like sleeping. Sleeping is a fantastic sport. My sleeping last night, I did wake up once or twice through the night, but that's okay. The dreams that I had, let me share with you the dream that I had. I have a very rich dream life. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse. It depends on the particular night. But I had this dream where there was an establishment, a business. And this business hired, this is within the dream. The air quotes are my own outside of the dream. But this business hired legitimate, established, and what's the other word that there was? Legitimate, established, and effective pastors, of which I was not one of them. Within this dream. And their sole job in this business was to do weddings. All kinds of different weddings. And so if you want to do a wedding, you go to this place, this business, and you would have a wedding done. And then somehow the dream then became a murder mystery, of which I was running from the killer. So I don't know. I have no idea why I have these kinds of dreams all the time. There was this great dream I had years ago. I still remember as a teenager. I got sent to hell, but I was given a machine gun with bullets of love. Yeah, right? So my dreams are fun. I mean, mostly. My dreams are a lot of fun. And I love sleeping because I can't wait for that next dream, whatever it is. Here's a whole movie about this, if you haven't watched it. Leonardo DiCaprio stars in it. It's called Inception. And within this film, they have this machine. And you get hooked up to, you lay down, you get hooked up to this machine, and it allows you to dream in a lucid state. Now, what that means is that within the dream, you're awake, and you can control the dream world. You are in control of everything. If you want to ride a winged horse made out of chocolate and marshmallows, you can create that because it's your world. And for the time you're sleeping, you can ride around on this wonderfully tasteful Pegasus and go wherever you want. And the thing is in this movie, people became addicted to this. And they didn't want to wake up. They didn't want to face the real world because there was nothing for them. They just wanted to stay dreaming forever. And some of them were hooked up to IVs and being fed intravenously and sleeping their entire life away. And then when they did wake up, if they did wake up, then they couldn't dream regularly. They were hooked on this machine. Just a fantastic concept for this movie. But the thing is that we as people, when we wake up to Christ facing reality, sometimes is a very difficult thing. People try to avoid reality in so many different ways, not just sleeping, drugs and alcohol and so many other addictions to try and alleviate the pain and the stresses and the issues that they're facing. Avoidance is such a tempting thing. However, when we're woken up into the reality of life through Jesus Christ, we recognize that when Christ's light dawns on our life and we see the world for what it is, we see its difficulties and its chaos and sadness and its shames and its heartaches and its joys and its happiness and its celebrations. We see that when we get through the rough times in our lives and when Jesus brings us through those moments, that we're made stronger. Avoidance doesn't always produce strength. But through Jesus Christ, we're able to walk the path that is lit by his love, to see where we may stumble and how we can get over it and how we can get through it. And Christ provides us a way out. For, of course, he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And through Jesus Christ, we have this land that was once ruled by war. And now, through the promise of Christ in our lives, these things which are made for war, the warrior's boots, the garments rolled in blood, need them anymore. Burn them up in the fire. Celebrate that Christ is love and is with us all, always. And so as we celebrate our fourth candle, which is the light of, or not our fourth candle, sorry, our fourth chapter in the Bible study, which is the light of the world. Celebrate, we're no longer in darkness. We may see the ugliness of the world, but we also see the beautifulness of Christ. And we rejoice that God is with us always. Share with you this final benediction today. Grant us, God, a mind to meditate on you, eyes to behold you, ears to listen for your word, a heart to love you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Go in peace.